back at it, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ here, yo, in the building with us right now, man. This is a special guest. Please, go ahead. Go ahead. What you going to say?
All right, no, go ahead, go ahead.
Nah, you already fucked it up by saying, can I do the intro?
All right, go ahead, you do it.
I'm passing it to you now.
I want to do the second part of the intro. Go. You do. Go.
There is no second part of
it. Introduce the motherfucker.
Reggie Osei is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
A.K.A.
Combat Jack.
Internets, what's up? What's up, 92.3? What's up, y'all? L.A.
What's up, King?
Man, I'm loving it, man. What's up, beloved?
Yeah, so you out here in L.A., obviously.
Yes, sir.
Man, shouts out to the Combat Jack Show Live. You guys did.
Thank
Mike
you.
Will made it. We were talking off air a little bit about that, man, that experience with him. And just really talking about, I didn't realize he had 7 years of just material and work that he was doing.
His first record was out in 2011, man.
And which doesn't
seem... Tupac back.
Tupac back with MMG.
But what's crazy is 2011 doesn't even seem like 6-7 years ago.
Nope.
It really feels like two.
Yeah.
That's a trip, man.
Hey, quick shout out to Mike Will, because he came in there. I mean, he walked in like we all owed him $20.
What you mean?
He floated in, right?
Yeah, he just floated in and he was just hella cool. He just sat down. And I was telling Combat, you know, starting the podcast off, like when we first started going or whatever, you could tell Mike Will was a little reserved.
Uh-huh.
And then as he just kept talking, and then you could tell at this point, Mike Will talking more than Combat.
I mean, yeah, he was actually, you know, man. And I appreciate that, man. I was nervous at first.
Yeah.
Because Mike Will definitely seems like somebody that in the public is not that talkative.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, he's not. You know what? I've seen Mike Will, I'll say, a handful of times, and every time I see him, he's not talkative at all.
Yeah.
He's just standing there and Sway Lee and Jimmy are both, they doing all the talking. They talking to girls, they talking to more girls. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they doing their thing. And Mike Wills is always standing there, but shout out to him for coming through there.
Man, shout out to him for talking and sharing his history with us, man.
Yeah. And then shout out to you, because
thank you, man.
You know, first of all, I told you, well, you know this, I'm a fan.
Thank you, man. As I am of you guys.
So I'm a fan first. I am a big fan of the Combat Jack Show, Loudspeakers Network.
Thank you.
And except A. King.
You don't follow A. King?
He's all right,
yeah,
though.
Now, we need to figure that something else out for him.
I mean, you know, you got to give A. King some love. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be sitting in this booth
now. That was the early days of PNC,
hey, that's
right?
My boy, man. Shout out to A. King.
A. King made all of this happen.
How did you guys actually link up?
Twitter.
Really?
I mean, Twitter. I was blogging at the time, and I was running with some other bloggers, this one in particular by the name of Dallas Penn.
Mm-hmm.
A. King approached Dallas Penn to do an online radio show at PNC Radio. Dallas Penn brought me in. And when it was time for us to start the show, Dallas Penn was like, nah, I'm not calling the Dallas Penn and Combat Jack Show. It's Combat Jack Show.
Right.
So he pushed me up front, and then I kept running, and I haven't stopped yet.
So, no, and that's amazing, man. I mean, why take that front seat at that time? Was it something that you knew, like, okay, I can kind of take the lead role in this? Or did you walk into it? Did you guys kind of start that off with, okay, co-host situation, we're going to both kind of take the lead role in this? Or why did you want to take that role at that point?
You know, it was real calculative, man. They had offered me the position, mm-hmm. or the slot about a year before I accepted it.
Really?
And I didn't want to accept it. It took a year to decide. And over the year, I was like, you know, my name's kind of bubbling on the internet.
Uh-huh.
You know, with my blog,
right.
the Daily Mathematics. I was doing stuff with XXL, Complex, The Source. So after thinking about it for a year, I was like, you know what, let me try this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of cats that I felt could have had a shot on online radio. Mm-hmm. They never took that shot, and it's like this seat is waiting and it's empty. So let me just jump in. But I had to be convinced. Like, I had to convince myself for a full year doing it. Once I started, I was committed.
So what was it that at that moment that you? What was that snap that said, okay, yeah, let me go ahead and do that? Like you said, if you were reserved for a little bit, what had you jump that?
It's been a full year. Nobody took that seat.
Mm.
Let me take that seat. Let me just man up and take that seat. Let me see where this thing takes me.
You know what's crazy about? Like, I've been listening to your podcast for a cool minute now, and I just told you when we were at dinner that one of the funniest moments to me was the recent moment with the old head conversation.
Old heads, man.
And you have a real problem with these old heads pressing you about being on the Combat Jack Show.
It's not even just pressing me about the Combat Jack Show. It's just, you go to the, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, listen, respect to everybody from my generation. I'm an old head, you know what I'm saying? Saying 70s babies, 80s babies, but like when you go to these old school events, right? And you run into the people that support you. It feels like one out of every 35 feels like they like you owe them something.
Like you owe them $20.
Yeah, like, yo, man, like you know what I'm saying? Like when I'm coming on your show, or hey, man, I don't like what you said to me about me. No. One cat said to me he was mad at me for allowing another man to say something about him on my show. I'm mad you let him say that on your show. Like,
he's a grown-ass man.
Like, yeah. My old brother's mad, man.
Come on, man.
Do you think? What do you think that people are mad? Okay, here's my I'm gonna tell you what my hypothesis is.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
I think that I don't know any super successful old heads that are upset about anything.
Nah, they tight.
It's always the ones, the tight ones.
I'm going through my head like, think about it
like this, Chuck. Like all the people,
Dr. Dre ain't mad.
Exactly. Only the ones that ain't really where they want to be.
Cube ain't mad.
Snoop Cube is definitely not mad.
Puff ain't mad.
Puff is definitely not mad.
Puff is having parties every other weekend.
He's throwing parties right now while we doing this.
But we know a lot of people that are mad.
They are upset.
Very, very upset.
And listen, man, life is short, man. Why y'all got to be mad about the past, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, keep it moving, enjoy life. You know what I'm saying?
What advice would you give them, though? Like, what are they supposed to do? Say I'm an old rapper, right? Yeah. I'm an old head. I used to be hot in the early 90s.
Right.
And now I'm not, and I'm tight about it. And I don't necessarily have the financial accolades to go along with my quote-unquote fame at the time.
Right.
What would you suggest that I do for income?
I mean, listen.
Give me a job.
I'm going to tell you a job, B. Stop hating on these.
No, listen. Okay, go ahead.
Stop hating on this new generation coming up and mentor them. You know what I'm saying? Mentor them about the business. Mentor them about the music game. And, you know what I'm saying? Mentor them.
That's consulting?
Consulting.
Yeah, right.
Mentor
there. That's
them. Like, share these gems that we learned back in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the early 2000s. Don't be mad like I don't listen to so-and-so because that ain't rhyming.
Right.
That ain't right.
But you know what? That ain't real spitting no bars.
Real hip hop.
No, man. No lyrical miracle.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, it's a different time.
Right.
It's a different time. No shots to any MC that continues to push the craft forward. But listen, I mean, I love these cats that can't rhyme. I love these cats that's pushing the vibe better than anybody can do it right now. It's a different time. It's a different vibration. Stop hating.
Right. Have you ever had to tell somebody straight up to their face that they shit was whack?
Yes, I did.
I'm not gonna say it on there. Okay, now who was it? But what was the circumstance? Like, did you brace them for the impact?
This is when I worked in the music industry, and I was working with this one artist who was he was a legendary artist, and he was trying to put his people on. He had his clique, and one cat just kept. He was trying hard too, and this is why he was trying hard. He was writing them rhymes. He was in the studio first, leaving last. You know what I'm saying? Just writing crazy rhymes, but it wasn't clicking. So one day he came to my office, he was like, yo, man, can you listen to this? And I was listening to it. I was like, listen, man, you work really hard.
You preempted it, you work really hard.
Your work ethic is crazy. I got nothing but love for you, but them bars, I don't know how much harder you can do.
Right.
How much harder you can work to improve these bars.
So you know what that was?
What?
Look, man, you work really
hard.
No, you know what that was? You know what? You work really hard. I'm sorry. The captain has said we're experiencing turbulence. You know what? I respect what you do. We're going to ask you to put your oxygen mask on.
Oh, man.
Hold on. But is to put your head between your legs. It's over.
It's a wrap.
And you hold them knees together, right? I mean, you know what, man? I mean, listen, man. It's like, I don't want to break his dreams, right? But at the same time, if you're going to ask me how this sounds,
I'll give you an honest
opinion. At a certain point, y'all have been in the same situation. At a certain point, you hate lying to people.
You can't.
Like, why lie to somebody? You know what I'm saying? Why? And I'm not trying to, I'm one about your dreams.
Right.
Like, live them dreams. You know what I'm saying? But if you ask me for critique,
you're going to tell them.
It's going to hurt your dreams.
And I always tell people, you got to have thick skin, too. In this business, at some point, you're going to have to just get over the fact that somebody's not going to. Even if you're the best at whatever, the best are even hated at some point or people have critiques about them.
But, Chuck, you're talking about the wrong industry because everybody in this game is too sensitive.
That's
man.
Very true.
Like,
I'll tell you this.
Right.
Who's more sensitive than a rapper? An old rapper.
Yeah.
And who's more sensitive than an old rapper?
I don't know.
A new rapper.
Woo! Okay, bars.
This is rap inception right now.
I'm dropping Mortal Kombat.
But you're absolutely right. Like when we're on Instagram Live or like when we're talking to people, when I see them out in the streets, they're always asking. Like the newer crop of artists or just people that are trying to get into the game, they just want to know.
Yes,
they just want to know something.
Information.
You know, some kind of information. So you're right. Like if somebody of that caliber can just reach out, mentor, consulting. I mean, there's a big lane for that because who else would be better to tell somebody how to get through something than somebody that's
a veteran, somebody that's gone through it.
Exactly.
And you know what I appreciate, man? A lot of people from my generation hate on the millennials. They hate on this generation. And I'm like, yo, I'd rather be around millennials because they approach me with mad respect.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're innocent, but they got this innocence about them. Like, they want to learn from people that have already walked. Yeah, so it's like they really embrace me and I embrace them. I'm fortunate I have kids.
Right.
Because I could have been one of those mad rappers too, like because they have kids and I see how much they enjoy the music that's made for them.
Right, you see that same passion that you have.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you think that, like, okay, so you say like you bringing up your kids, right? Do you think that kids in turn make you better at whatever you like, whatever your craft, like what matter make you better, especially being in the entertainment business or in hip hop in general? Kids are very vital to the longevity of one's career, regardless of what you do, whether it's publicity, you're a photographer, whatever, because that's the next wave, right? Mm-hmm. So you embracing that is big, first of all. Second of all, do you think that people not necessarily should do what the kids say? But like how you say, you have kids. So in a way, do they guide you, or like how does that work?
I'll tell you, man, the worst thing about success, right, is being great. Because if you've been being great for a long time, then you have a certain pattern. You know what I'm saying? You have a certain method. But those methods might not always be effective as time changes. You know what I'm saying? The next generation comes in, they might not have the expertise or the experience, but they have a different perspective.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So you're already like, nah, this is how we do. And they're like, yo, but this is how it's really going down right now. And if you don't look at how it's really going down right now, you're going down.
Bars.
Now, somebody being passionate about the culture, man, like you said, it's easy, like, you mentioned your kids kind of helping guide you and not really go down
broadening
that path,
my perspective.
Broaden the perspective. What else could you associate with that? Because somebody that's passionate about the culture, you said you're really embracing as far you embrace the new, you know, the next, you know. But how did you just not like really like shut off that other side? Because I'm bringing this point up because I've obviously listened to the podcast many a times.
Thank you.
And you even admit it, and this is one of the reasons why I fuck with you. We all know, being from L.A., you know what I'm saying, the New York perspective, they weren't really too embraced of West Coast. You were one of the first people that specifically was like, yo, man, you know, fuck with Pac, but back in the day, I wasn't fucking with him like that.
Exactly.
Because X, Y, and Z, his attitude and shit like that. That was one of the most realest shit I've ever heard somebody say, because before it was like, we knew fucking East Coast didn't fuck with
right,
West,
right,
generally speaking, but it was something that just wasn't really said. You know what I'm saying? So for you taking that perspective back then and not really messing with West Coast music, or I'm sorry,
hold on. I've always loved West Coast music. I was knocked out with West Coast music ever since Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
Like ever since that first record dropped, Cats in Brooklyn was like, yo, what is this?
What the fuck is
like,
going on?
These Cats and Jerry Curls and Gats and the beats is ill, but you couldn't deny how dope it was. You know what I'm saying? When Dre dropped The Chronic, we all had to bow down.
Right.
Like,
right.
How do you just change the game?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when Doggy Style dropped. Like, I remember sitting in an office with Damon Dash, and all me, Damon Dash, and DJ Clark Kent just sat down and studied the album.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? We were paying attention. It's not like, I understand, like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, Ice Cube.
Jack, I'm telling you, somebody out here growing up, that wasn't the mentality. We heard.
That's not the perception y'all had.
That's not the perception.
There was a lot of cat. There was, at the same time, I think those were the outliers.
Gotcha.
Like, we didn't take everything in. You know what I'm saying? We didn't take everything in. I remember, and this dude is brilliant, but I remember when Quick dropped,
oh my God.
Mad cast from New York was hating on him.
Yeah.
mad cats. You know what I'm saying? So we were very close-minded to different sounds.
Gotcha.
But the thing about New York is over the years, you know, be it the West Coast, be it down south, be it the Midwest, now, you know, up north in Toronto, it's continuously humbled us. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, y'all don't own this.
Gotcha.
Y'all, we created it. We're the originators of it. And we have a certain style that's printed in the DNA of this whole thing. But we don't own it.
Got you.
What I mean?
Yeah, no, so okay, so that's what it is. It's constantly seeing different eras and different areas come on and do their thing. Because as you're saying, like, you're right, you guys were in the room studying that shit, but at the same time, wasn't anybody publicly going out from, again, I'm a little bit younger and this is back in the day type shit. But
all we had was radio, TV, and publications.
Exactly. Yes. So we're going off of our OGs saying, yo, man, East Coast don't fuck with us and shit like that. So there was really nobody really out there, to my knowledge, championing West Coast music or artists.
I mean, but don't get me wrong. New York was assholes to a lot of people, even its own. You know what I'm saying? Like, New York was assholes. You hear stories about, you know, Outkast doing their first... Outkast, one of the greatest groups of all time in hip-hop, going to their first show in New York and getting booed. You know what I'm saying?
Like, everybody got booed damn near during the first...
That was the Source Awards or before that?
I think it was the Source Awards, but I think even before... No, Big Boy was telling me recently about a show, one of the first shows they did.
Gotcha.
They got booed, and I think it was somebody like a LL. Somebody's like, don't pay him no mind, man.
Like you,
Biggie. Biggie was like, don't pay him no mind. You got this. You know what I mean?
Dope, man.
Damn. Now what I want to? Oh, go ahead.
No, so you're right, because I was on an episode when you guys did the one in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Got you.
Now what I want to know about, because you touched on the
organized
kids
noise thing. Sorry, just kind of had a blank.
You touched on the kids thing. Now,
I ain't touching no kids thing.
No.
I'm not
topic.
Touching
please
no that, kids thing.
the topic.
No Pill Cosby over here.
No, look, I was talking to Khaled. I was just talking to Khaled like 2 days ago about this, and I wished him a happy Father's Day. It's his first Father's Day, right? And he was like, man, Head, like, you don't understand, like being a father, I've loved that more than anything I ever loved in my life, right? And I had to tell him the truth. I said, look, Khaled, I'm gonna be honest with you, dog. I'm fucking terrified of having a kid.
Mm.
Like, it literally gives me anxiety. I'm scared shitless to have a kid.
Right.
And it's not the kid. It's the woman.
It's the woman, yeah.
So, I mean, coming from somebody, you have more than one kid.
Yes, sir.
Like, how do you get over that? Did you have that, or?
I mean, nah, you don't get over it. You know, babies don't come with no manual.
Mm.
They don't come with no booklet.
No handbook.
You know what I'm saying? Once that baby is born and healthy, they kick you out into the real world. It's like, what the fuck?
What's going on?
You know what I'm saying? And you know, and you try to figure that shit out. And you do a lot of things right, and you do a lot of things wrong. And if the kid ain't dead, you know what I'm saying? And they love
you. The kid ain't dead.
If the kid ain't dead,
it's still moving, it's good.
If the kid grow up, got all limbs, you know what I'm saying? Both eyes, you know what I'm saying? If they healthy, and they have just even if it's just slightly a better life than you did. Then you did your job.
Yeah, man.
But I think, like, for me, like, you guys, you see, it's a little tough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right?
I mean,
now?
Hey, believe me, I know about the tough part.
No, I'm saying, like, the pool that we have to fish in right now, you know, is...
I'm so glad I'm not playing that game no
more. It's a lot of tilapia. And
you know what? In this world, with Instagram, there's a lot of catfish.
Bruh.
Yeah, it's catfish.
There's a lot
of tilapia, but not the ones. The tilapia that be at you know, like Denny's. That one. Or and it be like a lot of sometimes.
You're turning me off of fish right now, bro.
Yeah, see your face? That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? How they look or how they
everything?
He said all
look,
of the above.
Smell, taste.
Man, it's a scary world out here.
Listen, bro,
it's a new world out here, man.
So what I'm trying to get out of you is, I need, like you said, kids don't come with no handbook.
Yeah.
Give me a handbook as far as how to like put my pole in the right pond.
Hey, man,
you hear what I'm saying?
Listen, man, hey,
you hear what I'm saying?
Man, I don't. I'm the wrong one to be talking to right now, brother.
You hear what I'm saying? Chuck
Dizzle got all the answers.
Dizzle out the game.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying. He's
that's
like,
why he got all the answers because he out the game.
Nah, fuck that.
He ain't fucking
Chuck
with me.
Chuck don't know because he cheated.
No, don't do that.
Oh,
don't even do that.
What? He cheated.
He cheated. He's talking about I cheated like the
He skipped the line. He went to the music part.
Yeah, I was like,
this is getting a little tense right here. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
It's a little uncomfortable.
This is a little personal.
Chuck bought the little fast pass bullshit. No, fuck that. He didn't buy the fast pass. He went to the amusement park in a cast. But his shit ain't broke.
Damn.
So he get to just get in front of everybody.
Damn.
Don't be mad.
That's some bullshit.
I figured it out.
Listen, man, the game is the game, and we got to figure it out.
Exactly.
Fuck that.
You know what I'm saying? What you want, man?
Get you a cast and go take your ass to Magic Mountain, bro.
Are you out here fishing, though?
I'm not necessarily fishing, right. But my pole in the water.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. My pole in the water.
Better watch out, man.
If something bite, I'm going to yank it out and see what I got.
Yo, man, don't let nothing bite on your pole, B.
He don't know what the fuck is going on, bro.
Don't let none of these piranhas bite on your pole, B.
He don't know what's going on.
They'll bite on your pole, B. No, I'm just trying to figure it out. Like,
yo, where are we going right now?
Man, that's crazy.
Where are we going back
this
to Cali?
Right here. Now,
that shit went left real quick.
I'm curious about this, though. You obviously spent time as an entertainment lawyer.
Yes, sir.
All right, from back in the day. Now, was that something that you were interested in off top? Because, I mean, when you think about it, earlier on, like, I remember one of the first things that was planted in my mind was like, you got to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Yes.
Was that the same thing for you growing up, or was that something that you were really interested in terms of doing?
Man, I was really interested in painting, man. And then, you know, I realized that, you know, the school I went to had a horrible fine arts program. And then I came home one time for break, and I saw my cousin's paycheck. My cousin was a lawyer. I was like,
that's what I want to do.
What was it?
I mean, we talked about how much was it?
Yeah.
In your pockets.
No. Your cousin's paycheck. How much was it? This is back in the day. It don't matter now.
This is like 89, and the check was like $2,000.
For what?
For like, I guess, that pay period.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer.
I want that.
I need in on that, too.
I'm going to be a lawyer. Wow. Are you kidding me? Damn. And then I hated the whole process.
So you were motivated by the money at that point.
I was motivated by the money, and then when I realized that I didn't like the craft, but I still had a law degree from Georgetown, I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was fortunate that the music industry started buzzing in New York. So at the time, when I was at Georgetown, I would read these stories about Russell Simmons and this Def Jam empire that he was creating with his partner Rick Rubin.
Right, yeah.
And then, Public Enemy, LL Cool J, Slick Rick, all the best music that was coming out at the time. And I lucked up, because after I graduated, I got an internship at Def Jam.
Wow.
And that was the beginning. Mm. Of, you know what I'm saying?
So you got an internship while you was getting a law degree?
Right after.
Right after. You got an internship after you got a law degree.
After the law degree. Like, you know
what
that's
the
okay.
Fuck?
Let me tell you something, man, and this is facts. You know that story, The Breaks on VH1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The chick from Harvard
that goes
to kind of like this Def Jam type of, she gives up everything. Yeah. That's my story.
Really?
That's my story. If you look at the very
Won't
first.
Why don't you sue their ass?
Remember, that's my dude, Dan Charnas. And
I
if you look
get
at,
listen, man.
Right. Yeah. If you look at the credits of the first episode, my name is credited on it. And I didn't have anything to do with that. That's my story, B.
Wow.
That's my story. I gave it up for hip hop.
Get
and here we are today but see on 92.3.
Hey, I'm saying like that
homegrown radio.
That goes to show, man, when you really do
dream your dreams.
Dream your dreams, man. You do right by this culture, man. When you really have a passion about doing this shit, that the universe works in your favor.
Yes, sir.
God puts those things in your way and makes sure that you're doing this shit the way you're supposed to. Now, I do credit you, like, you know, you were doing the PNC situation. Well, fast forward, you were doing the whole entertainment lawyer situation, right?
Fast forward doing the podcast thing,
but it was at a time where, you know, kind of really ahead of the game. It wasn't really anybody was really doing it like that. People were kind of jumping on it, but you guys really took that really thing that mold and really did something different with it to the point where it was super interesting and taking it to the next level and really getting people's stories down. At that point, what was the vision like? Was it, hey, I'm doing this, this is still a passion? Or was it like, okay, look, this is what we're going to set up, we're going to get this podcast network? Or was it just kind of fueled by the show and letting it take you where you're going at that point?
It was a combination of those three, man. It was the show took a life of its own. The minute I started the first episode, I didn't know where it was going, but I knew it was transformative. Secondly, man, like, you know, this is the first time in my life, once I started podcasting, it was the first time in my life that I took something so serious because I was so passionate about it. You know what I'm saying? We did the Combat Jack show, and I hadn't received a dime in 4 years.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But because it was just like, it was therapy, it was cathartic. I met amazing people. Where else, you know what I'm saying, is an OG like me going to be able to sit down with cats that he admired from back in the day, like M.O.P. and wow. EPMD, and, yeah. And you know, and getting a call from LL Cool J. I'm not on the radio. I'm not on the box.
Yeah,
I got this. Like, you know, some people say you on Play Radio.
Yeah,
I was on Play Radio, yep. And LL Cool J is calling me, talking about I want to be on your show. Wow. That's humbling.
That is.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, fast forward a year or two later, like, getting a call at 2 a.m. from J. Cole saying, I want to come on your show. I'm only doing three interviews, and yours is one of the three interviews. I'm not
Get
doing
the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that, if you look at the track record, like, he doesn't do interviews, bro.
No, yes. I know he don't. That's what I'm saying.
And I was just like, yeah, and that just opened up, you know what I'm saying, like, my audience with regard to this generation. Because J. Cole is definitely one of the best Absolutely. Representatives of this For generation. Sure. So not just being humbled and honored that I'm representing my generation and admired by the gods and the legends. I just had a conversation. I'm not popping my collar, but I just had a conversation with Big Daddy Kane today.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Big Daddy Kane is my top five.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Top to be five. Able to and then, having, com- and yeah. then, but at the same time, cats like Cole, like Crit, you know what I'm saying? Like, just opening up the door for me for this new generation. Man, this is the best job I ever had, man.
Let me ask you this then, because I have me.
What up, King?
Actually, what's up, King?
What up, King? You good?
So, me and Chuck, well, more so me, because I'm kind of an asshole, but.
A little bit, but it's good.
Yeah, it's cool.
Gotta add that.
Say hello to the assholes.
I don't necessarily want to meet any more of my heroes or my legends, because it's always disappointing for me.
Is now, it always?
For you, it's a great experience.
Why is it for you always? What is it? What am I doing wrong, or what are you doing right?
I think what it is for the most part, is I have, like, these people are like I look at them, not necessarily, and it's going to sound fucked up, and I don't mean it in this, I don't know how another way to articulate it verbally, but like parents, I look at them like superheroes almost, where they don't die, they can't do any wrong, they just, they're amazing people. Mm-hmm. So the people.
Superhuman.
They're superhumans.
Right.
So with fucking, mm-hmm. So my thing is
metapowers.
When I'm looking at them, like, okay, you're amazing, and I idolize whatever it is about you. So back in the day, Mace was one of my favorite rappers, right? That's what it was.
Not Mace. You look back right now, Mace is in a lot of this generation's top five. Right,
so he was one of my favorite rappers, okay?
As he should be.
And then fast forward, I think I was a huge Fab fan, like, huge Fab fan. And when I started to meet people as I progressed through the industry, it was less fanfare, more like, oh shit, you know what I mean, like, ah, oh, you one of them people, or oh shit, you got an ego problem, or, you're fucking dick, or oh shit, like, you know what I mean. So it was like let down, and then it was like hopes up, let down,
right.
So every time that happened, I concurrently I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'd rather be a fan from afar.
Right.
Same thing
But let me ask you something. Do you think it's the nature of radio as opposed to the nature of podcast? Because it's a different beast. This beast right here, this beast is the machine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not talking about in this environment.
Oh, you're talking about in general.
I'm talking just at a concert.
Right.
Or just out and about, or just seeing you.
It had nothing to do with the
interview. It didn't have nothing to do with radio.
Right.
I'm just talking about, not when they come in here. I don't even talk about this shit.
Right.
I'm talking about when I went to get an autograph from Fabulous. Mm-hmm. It was at some concert in Arizona at an arena or whatever. And Fabulous was one of my top five rappers at that time.
Right.
So you couldn't tell me shit.
Punchline God.
I knew all his shit word for word. So I'm like, damn, Fab is here. So I'm with Akon. We got the big dressing room.
Yes.
Because this is Akon 2000, whatever. He's on top of the world.
A Black Diamond
Number
King.
One pop star in the world. So I'm coming out of his shit, and I'm finna go to Fabulous shit. Like, yo, hey, man, I'm big fan. Hey, close the door. And they just shut the door in my face. And I was like, oh, my nigga. Like,
but you know what, though, man?
So what I did, I'm going to tell you what I did.
Yeah, yeah.
What I did was I took it personal, and I shouldn't have. Yes. That's when I started to learn. This is 10 years ago. So I had to learn, don't take anything personal in the business. So when after that happened, I didn't play none of Fabulous shit DJ until Throw It in the Bag came out.
Right.
And I had to play that.
Of course.
Throw It in the Bag was a huge fucking record.
But you got to understand, too, man, it's like, These artists are doing this every day, and I'm not making an excuse for the assholes or the jerk faces, but a lot of these cats, a lot of the same cats that you mentioned, they do, like, every second of the day they're being assaulted.
Yes, exactly.
And at a certain point, and I'm not saying you assaulted them, but constantly somebody trying to get your attention.
I agree.
At a certain point, that shit breaks you down.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? And at a certain point, you got to be like, yo, close the fucking door.
Right.
And I'm not saying he did that. But, you know,
I mean. Well, now, I mean, I was young, I was dumb, I didn't know any better, I didn't know how this shit was. Right. And that's my point. Like, a lot of times, like, you don't necessarily know what anybody is going through.
Right.
And, like, the homie always say, you can't tell people how to react to things that you do or say.
Right.
So, the thing is, for me, is I'd rather not put myself in that situation in general.
Wow, okay.
So, people that I look at as heroes, like, people, like, Eminem is one of those people. Eminem is one of my top five. And in high school, it's all I listened to was Eminem, Dr. Dre, and
that Chronic 2001 era, huh?
Exactly.
Woo! Don't meet Eminem. That's it. Just don't meet Eminem. You good.
Exactly. So if I would love to meet him, but I'm not tripping if I don't.
Right. Right.
That type of thing.
I mean, but I think
for you, it's a little different.
I think you'd be surprised, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for the same times that you meet cats that disappoint you, how great are the times when you meet some of your heroes and they make you just feel so great?
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times do you meet somebody and they just encourage you? And like, damn, I used to listen to you. I used to play you all throughout high school. You saved my life. And you just happen to be a great person, too.
You know what? I take that back. I'm not going to lie. Like, Julio G, he's a radio legend out here in the West Coast. And then Big Boy is one of them. Like, those are two people that I feel like I grew up to. And
they extended that arm back.
And they did extend that arm, like, okay, young nigga, here you go, boom.
But at the same time, do you think that's because you're kind of already running around doing something that they see that you could possibly do? That's kind of different than running into somebody off the street.
Well, I'm just saying, you show and prove in general. Like, when Julio G came to your apartment, when we were doing this show out of his apartment building, Julio G came to his... Julio G's like a radio legend out here.
Yeah.
And he said, I like what y'all are doing.
Right.
This reminds me of when we first started.
That amazing.
Let
me ask you something. Was that not a turning point in your career?
Yeah.
Is that not a point where you said, we will really do this right now?
Yeah.
Not that y'all weren't going to do it, but this was like, we got validation from somebody that's paved the way from us.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that can stop us right now.
Nothing. I see pride. So I see power.
What was the difference between the passion that you have for blogging versus the passion when you initially started doing the podcast thing?
Well, you know, it's like when you get out of a relationship, which was when you get out of a relationship and you first start dating somebody, it's like
right.
what I'm saying. But then as you see other people and you're like, okay, this is, you know, I did this because it was new energy.
Yeah.
Right? When I was blogging, it was new energy. It was a way for me to it was like the jet rockets to get me into that other atmosphere further away from the music industry, because I really got burnt out in the music industry. And it also, like, the blogging thing got me really connected in the internet in a way that I had never been before, particularly for somebody my age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying somebody from a different generation. Most cats.
Did you learn like coding and all that shit?
No, hell no. I don't know. What is that? Yeah. Coding what?
No, I'm saying, you know, like,
I just learned blogging.
I learned blogging.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And then after I got all that energy out, I was like, I don't want to write anymore. I don't want to write anymore. And then doing the online radio thing was a lot easier. And then that turned into podcasting. And I was like, I love this thing. Where else can I sit down and talk with my boys, talk shit about music and hip-hop and who's the best MC, Jay-Z, Biggie, or not?
That's an ongoing argument.
Yeah, but turning it into where it's like, oh, shit, I might interview Jay-Z or Nas.
When did you realize that you can make a living doing what you're doing?
I'm still trying to realize that.
Figuring it out. I think that, honestly, what I take from you, that's the amazing part about it. Just to be able to watch your journey, kind of like while we're doing this
Man.
That shit is the dopest part about it, because what it does show, at least myself, is that, yo, you can figure out different paths. There's no one way you can do shit.
I mean, the universe is abundant. Absolutely. Like, at the end of the day, the universe is abundant. Just because everybody on the planet is doing one thing, it doesn't mean there's a million other things you can do. Mm-hmm. It's just as fly or flyer. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand also, when I left the music industry in 2004, the podcast didn't exist to me.
Nah, hell no.
You know what I mean? But it's one of those things, man, where when you got that dream, it's going to take you where you belong.
Right.
As long as you believe, it's faith. You know what I'm saying? It's belief in yourself. It's having the courage also to challenge the unknown. Yes. A lot of us. And I'm not saying I'm kind of like, you know what I'm saying, mentally challenged in that sometimes mm-hmm. I don't make the best decisions, uh-huh. mm-hmm. even though I know what the best decisions are. So walking away from something with no net, you know what I'm saying, is not the wisest thing to do.
Absolutely.
Because we've seen a lot of people fail.
Yeah.
But I knew at a certain point there was no fail for me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how far I gotta go, I'm good.
That's a different.
You're in the wilderness,
with kids too. Yeah. Because I quit my job a year ago, right?
Yes.
I've been working at the same job for 17 years. You know what I'm saying?
Doing what?
I've worked for the city of Carson, so we were doing like sales. I was doing maintenance at one point.
Did you
point
like that? Did you love it? Did you have a passion for it?
I liked it. The reason why I liked it was stability for one, and for two, I worked at a community center, so that was my way of kind of talking to people.
Yes.
I utilized my skill in terms of one to talk to people, doing this whole radio thing, my degree was psychology, just to have conversations with random people, just getting the mindset of what's going on with different people. So I love that part of it, meeting new people every single day. But the day-to-day, going in at 9 o'clock, leaving at 6, in the middle of me doing work, I'm literally fucking with homegrown shit, talking to him, okay, we're going to do this interview, we're going to do that.
Right, 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 right.
So I knew it wasn't a passion, but it was just something that kind of sustained my living.
But you knew that homegrown thing was a passion, because
that's what
you was doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Sun up, sun down, 9 to 5,
absolutely.
9 to 10, 9 to 12.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like when
that kept you alive.
That kept me alive, and
look at you now.
Hey man, trying to make it work. Trying to make it.
Making it work.
But the thing is, somebody would say the same thing about you, but you just express you're still trying to figure it out,
dude. Because I mean, like, dude, I had the opportunity to sit down with the great Norman Lear, and if y'all don't know who Norman Lear is, Norman Lear, people call him the father of sitcom television. Like, he created The Jeffersons. He created All in the Family. He created, like, Good Times. He created all the classic shows from which today's sitcoms are based on.
Mm-hmm.
He was 93 years old when I interviewed him. This was 2 years ago. So he's 95 right? He's still alive. And as I'm interviewing him, he's still on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? He's still on Twitter. And he's like, and I'm talking to him, like, yo, what have you learned? He's like, yo, the best moments in my life is right now. He's always looking forward. And he was like 93 talking about, I just did a deal with Netflix.
Wow.
And, but he had the eyes of a kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying? That. Like, at 93, you mastered television, but you got this innocence. Like, I still got so much more to learn.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's like, I'm having fun right now. I've continuously raised the bar. Let me put it out there. I have a new podcast out there called Mogul.
That's
the
Life and Death. Amazing.
The Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty, which
amazing.
I think, thank you, it takes podcasting to the next level.
I was about to ask you about that.
I'm still kind of, you know, delirious because that was a tough endeavor.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what that means yet. I don't even know what the ripples and the effects are going to be on. I just created a masterpiece. It's out there. I don't even know how that's changed my life yet.
Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's you know what I'm saying?
It's new. It's still fresh.
Yeah, it's still new.
But do you think, because I know, I forgot, I think it's called Serial.
Serial, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, do you listen to podcasts?
I listen to podcasts. Serial was one of the best, season one.
I've never listened.
It's amazing. Yeah.
That was one with our
season one of Serial changed the game. If you talk about a podcast that came out of nowhere and went, you know, record-wise, platinum, double platinum, that was it.
Because this girl told me about Serial, and I don't trust her judgment and content.
I mean,
she was right up on this.
Serial is a game changer.
That's crazy.
And so people are comparing, I'm not saying it is because we didn't set out to do this, but people are comparing Mogul.
Yeah.
They're saying Mogul is the hip-hop urban version of Serial.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
In a good way.
Absolutely.
And I'll take that.
No, absolutely.
I'll take that because Serial is one of the shows that inspired me.
Yeah, and the thing is, because I was listening to it, I actually subscribed to Spotify to
Thank
check
you.
It out. So it was
you
like
know it's
week
on all platforms
week.
Right now.
Yeah, exactly, which is dope.
But iTunes.
Absolutely.
SoundCloud.
Go on and let them know,
you know,
man.
It's all over the place.
And I definitely want to talk about that deal, too, because that kind of leads into my next question, and you kind of pretty much just answered it, but you talked about, you know, being an entertainment lawyer, getting burnt out with that, getting burnt out with the music industry, getting burnt out doing the blogging, and now here we are with podcasting, and it seems like you found a cheat code of finding different ways to still make this flourish, you know what I'm saying, with the whole network, striking deals with the podcast, doing not necessarily the whole thing, but narrating, so it's like different ways that you can still be yourself, live your truth, and still maximize your potential.
I'm immature, man.
Love it.
I'm immature. Like, at the end of the day, I'm immature. I don't know everything. I got to learn the next thing. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I got to risk it all to take it to the next level, life is short, man.
Yeah.
When did you, I mean, okay, so you said that gave you an idea or inspired you to do Mogul, right? So when you, Serial. Like, how long does some shit like that take? Like, because I know a serial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I said from day one to what the people have heard. Like
from what I know of it, it sounds like
this shit is intricate, bro. Like
it's like it's funny. Me and my producer Matt Nelson from Gimlet Media, who partnered up with Loudspeakers, we sat down the other day and we were like, "How many interviews did we do? I think it was like anywhere between 75 and 150 interviews.
No, I don't want to talk to that man.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking to 75 different people, or do you split it up?
I'm talking. We're traveling across the country. And you know what I'm saying, or going back to the same people, and like Chris Lighty's mom, and shout out to Chris Lighty's family, man, for giving us the green light to do this story. But you know, even as you're doing the interviews, you don't know what the story is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you're fishing in the dark, trying to figure out. You got blindfold on, and you're trying to figure out if it's a donkey, if it's an elephant, if it's a giraffe. You know, and it took us a full year and a half of just relentless, just producing and interviewing and digging. And, you know, it left me exhausted, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the same time, proud. It's like I just did a marathon.
Mm.
And I, you know what I'm saying? And I came in, you know what I'm saying, top five. And it's like, when you going to run the next marathon, B? Let me take care of these blisters on my feet. You know what I'm saying? Let me watch the replay on TV. Yeah, let me see what people think of my performance.
Do you think that's the next wave in podcasting as far as like series based?
I mean, the series have been going on for a while right now because Serial.
I'm talking about popular.
I think what we did is a first, and that ours is the first serialized, quote-unquote,
episodic podcast
dedicated solely to hip-hop about one particular person in hip-hop, which is the late, great Chris Lighty.
Lighty, man.
That's what's up.
And this is somebody that you knew Chris Lighty, right?
I knew Chris Lighty. I had done a couple of deals with Chris Lighty. I didn't know him like that. I wasn't in his inner circle. But because I was in the same room where we breathe the same air, and it was the generation that bred Puffy, same generation. I'm talking more East Coast.
Yeah.
The generation that bred Damon Dash and Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? That generation, Chris Lighty was cut from that cloth. You know what I'm saying? Chris Lighty even managed Puff at the time. You know what I'm saying? Chris Lighty managed like everybody from Nick Cannon to Mariah Carey to LL Cool J to 50 Cent.
Mm.
And this is the crazy thing about Chris Lighty. Chris Lighty was from the South Bronx. He wasn't no punk. He was one of those dudes where if shit popped off, most of us would run in the other direction. He's running direction.
Yeah.
So when 50 is the most dangerous man in the music industry, where if you had to walk with 50 to go across the street to sign a contract, you had to wear a bulletproof vest. Mm. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, who wants to, like, ain't the music industry ain't worth that much to us, right?
Nah, not at all.
Chris Lighty went and rocked with that man all the beefs 50 went through, and through those years, crafted one of the biggest albums of all time. You know what I'm saying? Get Rich or Die Trying. Mm-hmm. Movie deals the whole night, and then did the vitamin water deal, which netted 50 reportedly $100 million. I mean, $100 million,
right.
Like, how do you take 50 from 9 bullet holes to $100 million? Who does that?
That's special, man.
Special people.
Special.
Yeah.
And I particularly liked, and of course, I mean, because we out here, but
maybe that could happen.
I like the Warren G piece, man. That was phenomenal.
Warren G, you know, for those that haven't heard this story, and once again, I got to tell y'all, please. This is not me selling something to y'all that I want to sell. Yeah, I want to sell it, but it's a game changer. We changed the game with podcasting and black narratives and stories about us, for us, by us, of us.
Of us for
and,
real.
You know, Chris Lighty worked at Def Jam. Def Jam is the Harvard of hip-hop, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, Def Jam was about to fold. Def Jam was about to fold because
people didn't realize
the West Coast was popping.
Absolutely.
The West Coast took
to
over.
Up. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The advent of G-Funk was like, we don't do that. We don't even know how to do that. And Chris Lighty was like, you know what? Let me see what's going on. Y'all signing Snoop?
Yeah.
You see Dre, everybody's getting, y'all just signed Warren G?
Right.
Got him.
I didn't realize how close Chris and Warren were.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So, yeah, I definitely don't want to give everything away. Please go ahead and subscribe. Check it out on iTunes. Check it out on Spotify. Anywhere that you can pretty much. Is it on Tidal as well? Or is it
I'm not sure it's on Tidal, but it's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on SoundCloud.
Nice.
I believe it's on Google Play. But it's on all
platforms.
It's on most.
Yeah, yeah.
Platforms that provide podcasts, man.
That's amazing. So at this point, man, what's next for Combat Jack, for Reggie Yosei, for the Loudspeakers Network?
You know, there's a lot of things going on with the Loudspeakers Network.
We're in a position right now. How many shows are on the Loudspeakers
13.
Network?
13. 13. Right now, I think we just picked up No Jumper.
Really?
We just picked up No Jumper. Yeah. L.A., what
really?
Up?
Really? Really?
Yes.
So... Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
I mean, the thing is, once again, this thing is a beast that's taking us where we don't know where it's taking us. You know what I mean? So we're riding this thing. We don't want to cash out too early. People are like, y'all ready to cash? No, I don't want to cash out yet because the money's not worth giving up our dreams up to where we've created it right now.
Right.
So just riding this and really just being committed to it and just dedicated to continuing to produce amazing content.
13 shows on the network.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, for people that are out there that are interested, I'm sorry about that. For people that are actually interested, you know, that do podcast, is it a thing where the Loudspeakers Network is constantly looking for people? Do you guys seek out other people, or is there something where people can reach out to you to possibly get powers that be over
there? It goes both ways, but I think right now we're so inundated. Like, every week we get hit up. It's like a record label.
Cats
sending us demos after demos after demos. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, we still run a mom and pop, so it's kind of hard to manage all the demos that come through.
Yeah. So just hit you direct at 917. No.
I got your number. But at the same time, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. And because we're at this point right now where we can afford to, you know what I'm saying, acquire some shows and with some upfront advances in the whole nine, if we see some talent out there that's already paved the way and we feel that their voice goes with our voice, like No Jumper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then of course we're going to try to. We've been chasing Joe Button down for 3 years because I think we'd be a great home for Joe Button. But at the same time, I'm not mad at what Joe Button is doing. You know what I mean? Like Desus and Mero. You know what I'm saying? We went to them first before they had the podcast because I've been watching Mero for a long time. Like when I worked at The Source in 2010. I discovered his blog.
Wow.
And I was like, that kid is a star. And like the first platform I put him on was on the Source magazine. So, you know, seeing him doing a podcast and now having the nightly show.
Yeah, man, on
it's
Vice.
Like, yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
I mean, you know, but it's always looking for like, we were hard to get DeRay McKesson before he did his podcast. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shows out there that we want. There's a lot of shows that we chase. We get some of them, we don't get all of them.
Wow, man.
That's what's up, bro. I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Season 2 is coming up too. I mean, we haven't locked down
of
Mogul.
Really?
I mean, we've been talking about season 2. I mean, we're still in the middle of we're still early on in the second run of Mogul season 1, but it's doing so well that we can't not do a season 2.
Nah, you got to keep that. I think it's necessary to keep the conversation going. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, the story's for us, of us, by us, is very, very important. I mean, you got to have that voice to keep that shit going. You got to control the narrative of the conversation.
Exactly.
I feel like I want to say what's next, but I mean, I know there's so many things that you got going on.
There's so many things, man. Like, I'm still exhausted.
Is there anybody that you would want to get on the show at this point? Who
to interview?
Yeah, to reach out to. Whose story?
I mean,
are
you know, I still can't believe because I've had such tremendous history with him. I still can't believe haven't had a chance to sit down with Puff.
Mm-hmm.
Like me and Puff would kill it. You know what I mean? Like Barack Obama. I'm saying I would love to sit down with President Barack Obama.
He got time now.
Like post White off, like post White House.
That'll be amazing.
Barack could talk that shit.
That'll be amazing.
Talk about how them people tried to drive him crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they got your president up in
all the
office.
White girls,
you know what
I'm saying? They sit in there.
Yeah. Hey. But you know, there's a lot of people that I want to talk to. You know what I'm saying? Don Cheadle. You know what I mean? Like
Don
Cheadle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even before. you know, Kung Fu Kenny and DNA, like, you know, Don Cheadle, Kendrick, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many people I want to talk to, man.
Dude, man, I just appreciate your voice in this culture. And
Thank you.
We look, and I look from afar, and now I'm glad we've been able to build this relationship and really chop it up and really get to know, you know, the Reggio say that we here, you know what I'm saying? And really talk to you, man. Anything that you need from us here at Homegrown, it's always
a job.
You don't need a job at all.
I'm trying to move out to L.A., man.
That what you trying to do?
Yeah, I want to move out to L.A.
Really? Are you trying to come out here?
He is. He's dead serious.
I'm trying to move out to L.A.,
He's dead
man.
Serious because he didn't hit me a couple times like, yo,
I'm ready to move tomorrow.
What are we doing? Where's it at?
Huh?
You really trying to make us leave?
No, he's serious.
Yeah, you know, listen, I love New York. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I spent my entire life in New York.
You burnt out.
It's not even that I'm burnt out, man. It's like I gave all my love to New York, and I know New York made me the person that I am. Mm-hmm. But sometimes with the change, like New York, like every place is changing for us. You know what I'm saying? But this is home. And sometimes, as much as I love New York, I got to question how much does New York love me right now? Mm-hmm. Not in terms of the people, but just in terms of how the city is transforming into a city that I no longer recognize.
Hey, there's some gentrification going on.
Yeah, it's
in
not
LA
just
too.
A gentrification, but it's also New York is different, man. Like, I'm jealous when I come to L.A., and I just take a deep breath and I smell weed everywhere. New York is like, you can't do that in New York. Oh, like, why? It's a police state. It's so harsh. And I'm not saying the cops here are cupcakes.
No, I got you.
But New York is a whole different beast. It's like the apartheid game in New York is ridiculous.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's speak into the existence, man.
Yeah, and then
it's an apartheid game.
You know, I think, I mean, once again, I'm not being naive, but in New York, you gotta be rich to be
poor.
You
gotta have some bread.
To be poor.
I know,
you gotta be rich to be poor.
You gotta have some bread to be broken in New York.
Any other spot is more expensive than LA, then it's gotta be New York.
New York, yeah, New York for no reason. You
this
know what I'm saying?
You know what's funny, real quick before we wrap up? The homie told me this is how vain New Yorkers are. Or not New Yorkers, but the state.
Yeah.
The state of New York. They make you pay to get in the city. Ain't that a bitch? Like,
yeah,
I ain't did shit yet. I ain't parked a car, ate a slice of pizza, went to a game, nothing. You making me pay just to visit.
Man, but the thing is also I get it. There's so many people in such a small place.
Mm-hmm.
New York is so small compared to California.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the infrastructure just deteriorates real quick. You got to pay for those repairs, and it's just crazy, man. I need this air.
Oh,
I need this weather.
You trying to smoke all of our weeds?
I just a little bit.
All our weeds.
Just a pinch, man. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to sit down in my backyard. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? It's crazy in New York right now.
Now, we asked this to everybody while we close out. You pretty much just said it. But what's one thing that Combat Jack has to do before the year ends? Year can't end without you doing this.
I want to go to the motherland. I want
to
touch.
I want to go, too.
I want to go to South Africa or Ghana, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to touch the motherland. Like, I had an interview last year with the mayor of Cape Town.
Oh, man.
At A3C.
Bar.
And so we created this bond, and it's like, it just opened up the reality. Like, yo, I could go to South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how have I not touched the continent? How have all of us not touched the motherland? We so tied up, and don't get me started. Don't get me started. But we so tied up into this is the greatest country. How do we know if we don't touch the motherland?
True. Very true. We haven't even seen it.
Everything was stolen from them. Everything.
Resources,
well, look, when you booked a flight, my name is Aaron Drake.
Okay.
My birthday is January 12th.
Okay.
Oh, you putting your bid in like that?
Yeah. With the socials?
Nah.
Right. He ain't doing that.
He'll do all of that. Quick shout out to the homegirl, Sade for the plug and all of that.
Sade's a sweet. She really is.
Just
a plug.
Don't cross her.
She is amazing.
Hey.
Listen, anybody on my team, I tell them don't cross her.
Yeah,
it's been amazing to watch her grow from sin. Because when we used to do this in the apartment, it was truly homegrown. Like literally the 3-bedroom apartment in Inglewood. Everybody know off of Lamoli. She would come straight from school. You know what I'm saying? Before she graduated. So just see her do her thing now. Just
bossed up.
Bossed up. So shouts out to Sharday once.
Sharday
Jenkins. She's like an attitude, like a boss too.
She's
like,
on it.
Like, don't even play me.
Yeah, don't fuck with Sharday.
Exactly.
For sure. Man. Combat.
Yes, sir.
Reggie, appreciate you coming on through, man.
Appreciate this, man. You know, I can't ever come to LA without seeing you.
Please,
you
man.
I want you to do this. I want you to, you got to end it how you end your shit.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing, though.
All right. Well, you know, this is what I say on the Combat Jack Show, and I really mean this. And let me tell you the history of this. The history of this is like, you know, paying homage to like Mr. Magic and Frankie Crocker and the radio disc jockeys that back in the 70s and the 80s like always wanted to end with a message. And being in this new generation, I wanted to pay homage to them, but also inspire anybody who would take their time, waste their time, you know what I'm saying, invest their time and listen to my show. And I close my show with this. Damn, I'm tired, so I hope I don't fuck it up.
You're going to fuck it up for sure. Go ahead. I'll help you out.
Dream those dreams and then man up, woman up, and live those dreams. Because a life without dreams is black and white, and the universe flows in technicolor and surround sound.
Boom. Internets.
Internets.
Luminati.
Internets.
If Bliss was here, we'd say, how I'm ground.
Yo, hey, thank y'all so much, man. I really fucks with y'all, man. I got a lot of love for y'all, man. And I'm just, like I said, humbled and honored that y'all, you know, give us so much love and support, man. Thank you.
It's going to keep going, man.
Yes, sir.
Anytime you in L.A., you know you got a home at home grown.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's home
grown. I'm trying to make this a home at home.
Let's do it.